Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello, and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Just wonderful to have you with us today on this Monday. I hope you were with us last week, too, because we were doing a series with Derek Prince called Walking Through the Land of God's Promises. And Derek is always practical, but in this series, he really has gotten down to the nuts and bolts. For example, last week he was talking about dealing with mental torment and walking in true peace, and we know what an epidemic that problem is in our generation. This week, he's going to talk about extremely practical things like acceptance in the workplace and finding the right mate. I mean, I just can't imagine more practical truths as Derek teaches us how to take hold of the promises of God and walk in them in very real and transforming ways. Now, listen, if you've not caught any of this before, you can log on to our website at derekprince.org. You'll find all of last week's teaching, a lot of other wonderful teachings, and also a lot of wonderful information about what's going on at Derek Prince Ministries. So listen, be sure and get something to write with, be sure and have your Bible open, because you're going to learn how to take hold of the Spirit-empowered promises of God in a way that will change your life. And by the way, if you already have a mate or if your work situation's already blessed, you know somebody who needs to know these promises and to see them fulfilled in their lives. So let's listen now as Derek Prince talks to us about walking through the land of God's promises.
Most committed Christians who seek to lead lives of righteousness that glorify their Lord experience some degree of strain or tension in situations where they have to work with or under people who are not believers and who may perhaps be actually hostile to the Christian faith. In some cases, in such a situation, there is actual opposition or even persecution. Does the Bible have any guidance for Christians who find themselves in such a situation? I believe that it does. I say this on the basis of my own experience in such situations. For our first promise today, we're going to turn to what I would call a negative promise, a promise that promises something that we actually wouldn't choose if we had the choice. Nevertheless, it's part of the total promises of God's Word, and we have to give heed to it. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 says this, "And indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." That's a promise. You might say, well, it's not a very pleasant promise, but it's part of our total inheritance. Remember, our inheritance is all the promises of God, both the ones we would like and the ones we wouldn't like. But it's important to understand that they all go together. We cannot separate one from another and say, well, I like the pleasant promises, but I don't like the unpleasant. It's very important to see this, because when we're in a situation where we are genuinely living godly and we are persecuted for it, it's very comforting to know that that's part of our inheritance. First, I think I need to establish certain standards of conduct for employees, which the New Testament clearly lays down. We'll turn to Ephesians 6, verses 5 through 7. These words are addressed to slaves, or we would say today in modern society, servants or employees, although of course some of the conditions of slaves were much more stringent than those of modern employees. But this is what the New Testament says to employees, to servants, to slaves. "Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not men." Now, certain things we're required to show in our conduct towards our employer, our master. We're required to show respect and sincerity and wholehearted service. And the principle behind this is that in that given situation, our employer, our master, is God's representative to us in our situation. We have to see in him the one whom God has for that particular situation and that particular time placed over us. And our attitude and response to that employer is, in fact, a mirror of our true attitude and response to God Himself. If we show no respect for our employer, if we seek to cheat, if we seek to serve short hours and give shoddy service, that's really our attitude toward God. We might not dare to show it openly toward God, but the attitude that we show to our employer is an indication of our heart attitude toward God. Once we realize this, it's going to make us the kind of employees that employers will be happy to have around. The next thing that I need to emphasize, and this goes closely with what I've said, is the importance of faithfulness or trustworthiness. Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, "Many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy man?" That was true about 3,000 years ago. I would say it's even more true today. I am an employer myself. I have a lot of friends who are businessmen. I move in those circles many times. And I would say the question today really is, who can find a trustworthy man? There are not many of them anywhere. The whole trend of modern society is toward indiscipline and irresponsibility, and it's becoming harder and harder to find employees who are truly trustworthy. My conviction is that any employee in any situation who truly proves himself trustworthy is going to be valued and is going to be approved by his employer in due course. It may take him time to prove himself, but when he does so, he will be valued. Again, in Proverbs 28, verse 20, it says, "A faithful man will be richly blessed, but one eager to get rich will not go unpunished." So if you are a faithful man or a faithful woman in your place of employment and in your attitude towards your employer, God says you will be blessed. Even if your employer doesn't bless you, God will see to it that in his own way and time, you get blessed. We've looked at the negative promise, all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We've examined some of the standards that the Bible sets for employees. Now I'm going to turn to the positive promise, and this is one that I specifically proved in my own experience. It's found in Romans chapter 14, verses 17 through 18. "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men." Notice what the kingdom of God is. It's not a set of rules about what you're to eat or what you're to drink or what places of entertainment you're to attend or any kind of set of legalistic religious rules. That's not where it's at. As a matter of fact, I find that religious legalism tends to turn people who are not Christians off. It doesn't attract them, it repels them. But the real life of Christianity is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Apart from the Holy Spirit, it's not possible. And then notice what Paul says about the person who is serving God in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. He's pleasing to God and approved by men. In other words, men will recognize the quality of his life, and even if it's grudgingly, they will grant him approval. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 and 4. God says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. They will win you favor and a good name in the sight of God and man." Favor with God and man is promised if we will walk in obedience to God's commandments.
You know, Derek has just put his finger on an extremely important theme. We don't find favor in the workplace by praying for it and then acting with arrogance and lack of concern for the job we're meant to be doing. We submit. We honor those who are in authority over us, and God blesses our work situation with grace and favor. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
When you need assurance, or when fear grips your mind and heart, there is one book of the Bible that speaks most clearly to the needs of the soul, the Psalms. Now, Derek Prince escorts you through these wonderful words of comfort in his classic book, Through the Psalms with Derek Prince. In it, Derek offers his unique personal insights into all the Psalms and provides a helpful index to the scriptures that speak to your specific needs. In writing this book, Derek prayed that the personal meditations he included would stimulate the reader to go far beyond anything that he was able to put into writing. Normally $14.95, listeners of Derek Prince Legacy Radio can order Through the Psalms with Derek Prince for only $9.95. call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Going through the Psalms with Derek Prince will set you on a course of refreshing discovery. Call 800-448-3261 or visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. So glad you're with us. If you were with us for our first portion of the show, you heard Derek talking about how to find acceptance in a work situation. He's being very practical about the promises of God and how we take hold of them. Now he's going to talk about finding the right mate. Call your friends, call your family. We need to walk in these promises. Let's listen as Derek teaches us about walking through the land of God's promises.
Today I'm going to share with you some promises of God's Word that relate to one of the most important choices a man or a woman ever has to make, the choice of a mate, a wife, or a husband. Theoretically, in this matter, the primary initiative is with the man. I say theoretically because observation leads me to conclude that a woman's attitude and decision often has a lot to do with it. You may have heard the story about the woman who ran away from a man until she caught him. Well, I'm not going to comment on that. At any rate, we'll begin by viewing the situation from the man's point of view. Actually, most of the relevant principles that I will be dealing with apply equally from either point of view, that of the man or the woman. First, we need to establish a general principle that applies in this and many, many other situations. There are two forms of guidance that God provides. The first is what I call general guidance. That's true for all God's people. The second is individual guidance that applies only to a certain individual person in a certain situation. Now, general guidance comes from Scripture. This is emphasized again and again. Just take one example, Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So if we want to walk in God's way, then the source of light, which shows us the way to walk in and shows us that we're putting our feet in the right place, is the Word of God. And all other guidance must be tested against the Word of God. As John Wesley said, I acknowledge no other rule of faith or practice but the Holy Scriptures. There is no other rule of faith or practice that has the same authority as the Holy Scriptures. We must walk in the light of the Scriptures. That's the primary source of guidance from God for all of His people. And only when we are obedient to general guidance, the guidance of Scripture, do we have the right to expect individual guidance. Again, there's another principle that we need to emphasize here in connection with marriage, a principle from God's Word, a principle of general guidance. It is this: it is wrong for a believer to marry an unbeliever. I believe I need to say that again because I think some of God's people are pretty foggy about their comprehension of this principle. It is wrong for a believer to marry an unbeliever. This is stated very clearly in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 16. Paul says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. Of course, he's writing to believers. And the primary form of yoke is marriage. In Scripture, marriage is commonly referred to as a yoke. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Notice those very pertinent questions. What do righteousness and wickedness have in common? What fellowship can light have with darkness? And so on. In other words, believers are light, and light cannot fellowship with the darkness of unbelief. Now, if you are unmarried, then you have no right, as a believer, to seek a life mate who is not a believer. On the other hand, if you were married as an unbeliever and later came to believe in the Lord, that's a different situation. Then God will come to your help in various ways. But the present time, I'm dealing with the choice of a life partner for one who is not married. The second general principle from God's word that we need to lay hold of is that God appoints the right mate for each of his children. It's not haphazard. It's not outside of God's provision. God chooses the right mate for each one of his believing children. Proverbs 18, verse 22 says this, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." In other words, finding the right wife is an indication of the Lord's favor. And then in Proverbs 19, 14, "House and wealth are inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord." Now we're going to look at the standard of marriage which Jesus acknowledged and which he set for his disciples. This is brought out very clearly in Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 6. "And some Pharisees came to him, testing him, and saying, 'Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any cause at all?' And he answered and said, 'Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Consequently, they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate.'" The point I want to bring out here is that when Jesus was questioned about marriage, he did not accept the standards or the rules or the conventions of the time in which he lived. But for his standard of marriage and the purpose of marriage, he immediately went right back to the beginning.
You know, so much teaching about marriage today is almost rooted in manipulation. Treat a person a certain way, get them to think a certain way. Derek says it's our view of marriage based on the Bible and our attitude towards God, our heart towards God, that allows us God to choose the right mate for us. Derek's going to be wrapping up this marvelous teaching as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Why, out of an endless number of possible souls, were you born into this earth? What is your destiny? Where can you discover what God has planned for you? In a powerful audio CD by Derek Prince, you can find the answer to these most fundamental questions. It's called God Wrote Your Scenario, and with it, you'll find the key that unlocks the mystery of God's wonderful plans for you. It is mystery that holds not just knowledge that God Himself wrote out the scenario for your life even before you were born, but the ability to discover it and live it out to the fullest. Derek Prince, a man who walked in the fullness of God's plan for his life, will help you discover the plans God has for you and how your life can be filled with meaning and purpose. As our way of saying thank you for your gift of any amount to Derek Prince Ministries, we'll send you your copy of God Wrote Your Scenario, postage paid. Call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Call now with your gift of any amount and ask for your copy of Derek's powerful CD, God Wrote Your Scenario. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I hope you've been with us for our entire show today as Derek has been talking to us about taking hold of the promises of God. But what really excites me is that he's talking now about how to find the right mate and how the promises of God shape that whole experience. Get something to write with and take notes on now, because he's going to be talking about four facts Jesus gave about finding the right spouse. Let's listen.
I'm going to point out to you four facts about Adam and Eve, all of which I believe apply in our lives today. First of all, it was God who decided that Adam needed a wife. Secondly, it was God who formed Eve for Adam. Thirdly, it was God who presented Eve to Adam. Fourthly, it was God who determined the nature of their relationship. Now, I believe all these principles still apply equally today for us as Christians, whether we be a man or a woman. Let me try to show you how they apply in either case. First of all, if you're a man, God will decide that you need a wife. It's not your decision, it's His. Secondly, God will form the right wife for you. Thirdly, God will bring that wife to you. And fourthly, God will determine the nature of the relationship under which you will live as a married couple. If you're a woman, we just have to turn it around a little and the same principles apply. God will decide that some man needs you as his wife. God will form you and prepare you to be a wife for that man. God will bring you to that man, and God will determine the nature of the relationship in which you will live as a married couple. In other words, whether you be a man or a woman, the initiative, the decision, the process of preparation are all with God. Now, what does God require of you that you may find His will in this vital manner, whether you be man or woman, that you may find the mate that God has for you? I want to give you 7 simple rules, which I believe will greatly help you in this matter. First, believe in God's purpose for your life. Believe God has a destiny for you. You're not just an accident looking for somewhere to happen, as somebody said once. God has a purpose for you. It's a good purpose. Secondly, commit your life totally to God. Thirdly, walk in the light of God's word. That is, go by the general guidance that God has made available to all His people. Fourthly, cultivate fellowship with God's people, because out of the people you have fellowship with, it's probable that God will pick the one you're going to marry. Fifthly, realize your value as a child of God. Don't make yourself cheap. Don't accept second best in this vital matter of your life. The trouble with many Christians is they don't value themselves sufficiently highly as children of God, and they accept some poor substitute for God's best. Sixthly, be prepared to wait. Wait. Waiting is one evidence of faith, and it's one that God often requires us to demonstrate. And seventhly, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Let Him choose your way and direct you.
You know, I don't know about you, but when I read the Bible, sometimes the allusions are not real relevant to me. For example, a promise that says my vine will not cast its fruit before its time, or my sheep will be blessed, you know, it's not exactly directly applicable to my context. However, if we understand it in the context of the people living at the time, what it meant was that their work would be blessed because they were sheep herders, or their cattle, if it promised that their cattle would multiply, it meant that what they were working at every day, 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day, would be blessed. Or if there was a promise that their sons would be strong in the land. I mean, that doesn't make a lot of sense to us, but what it means is that the next generation, our children, will be blessed. And this is what I want you to see today about the Word of God as Derek's teaching us, and that is it's extremely practical. It's about what goes on at your breakfast table. It's about what's happening in your office. It's about what you own and your taxes and your insurance and how you conduct yourself with your spouse. The promises of God are meant for us to believe, obey, walk in, and then be transformed by. Now listen, if you've missed any of this marvelous teaching, because of course this began last week, log on to our website at derekprince.org and you'll just find all kinds of wonderful information. And don't forget, we're going to be on this theme all this week, and you're going to hear some marvelous transforming truths from God's Word. Well, listen, that's all the time we have for now. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
To order your own copy of Derek's classic book, Through the Psalms, for the discounted price of only $9.95, give us a call toll-free, 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. And for your gift of any amount, we'll send you Derek's special CD, God Wrote Your Scenario. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can request your copy securely online at derekprince.org.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.